Welcome to Words to Live By, a podcast series hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Each week, we will share some of the wit and wisdom of Ronald Reagan. In essence, Words to Live By, made up of radio addresses and speeches he delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. On May 8, 1984, the White House honored Harry Truman's 100th birthday. Sadly, Harry died in 1972 at the age of 88. But Ronald Reagan, who had admired, respected, and actually campaigned for Harry Truman, was staunchly in favor of celebrating this honorable man. President Reagan's remarks were delivered at the White House with Truman's daughter, Margaret, as a special guest. And while his remarks were simply captivating, let's listen.
Once at a White House luncheon, very much like this one, a big lunch with the leaders of his party in attendance, Harry Truman was criticized for one of the many good but controversial things that he'd done. He had recently put forward a 10-point plan to outlaw racial segregation. And a Democratic committeewoman from Alabama stood up and said, "Mr. President, I want to take a message back to the South. Can I tell them you're not ramming miscegenation down our throats?" Harry Truman looked at her, and then he recited the Bill of Rights. And when he was done, he said, "I'm everybody's president. I take back nothing of what I propose, and I make no excuse for it." A White House waiter became so excited listening to the argument that he accidentally knocked a cup of coffee out of the president's hands.
So in this podcast, we'll focus on this terrific tribute. But first, a little background, because maybe you didn't know that back in 1942, actor Ronald Reagan joined the Hollywood Democratic Committee, also known as the HDC. It had been formed as a support group for the Roosevelt administration after the Republicans made significant gains in the 1942 election. By 1948, Ronald Reagan campaigned for Hubert Humphrey, yes, and Harry Truman. Truman, Reagan believed, had common sense that helped him to get to the root of problems. He admired how he stood up to the bureaucrats, and when he had a tough decision to make, he made it. He also loved that he wasn't a tax and spend Democrat. Well, he loved many things about Harry Truman.
We are here today to honor Harry S. Truman. A long century has passed since he was born 100 years ago today. But he's still a vital presence. He lives on in the American consciousness. He is a shared memory. Harry Truman in the pearl gray Stetson and the light gray suit and the round rimmed glasses and the walking stick. Harry Truman on his morning stroll. The brisk cadence of his walk matched by the blunt rhythm of his speech. Plain spoken, plain talking, no nonsense Harry. Little Harry, some people called him when he first took Roosevelt's place. Little Man, they called him the day FDR died. Funny that Little Harry looms so large in our memories. He was in many ways the quintessential American. He was a patriot. He loved his country. He was an unpretentious man who esteemed common sense and common wisdom. And he was most American in this. Embedded in his heart like a piece of gold was a faith that said that the ideals that shaped this country are enduring, that they're continually reborn as we live our lives every day. He was born in the center of the continent. Lemar, Missouri was farm country, and as a young man, Harry worked the family farm. It was a hard life, up at the first light working the fields. But there must have been a part of Harry Truman that even then was working on silent dreams. The summer of 1912, he kept stopping his plow and walking into town to go to the telegraph office to keep up with what was happening at the Democratic Convention. He had great hopes for Woodrow Wilson. He left the farm to fight in the First World War. And a month after he landed in France, they made him a captain and put him in charge of a battery that had already broken four commanders. Captain Truman called the sergeants and corporals together and said, "It's not my job to get along with you. It's your job to get along with me." And let me know if you don't think you can, so I can bust you back right now. They knew they had a leader. They adored Captain Harry for the rest of their lives. And many of them were still writing to him when he lived in this house. When he returned to the States, he made what I suspect he would call the most important decision of his life. He married his beloved Bess. She was, in the deepest sense, his soulmate, as Margaret was his joy. He opened a haberdashery in Kansas City, did well for a while, and then lost everything. He refused to declare bankruptcy and spent the next 15 years working off his debts. Harry Truman's life found its true purpose when he went into politics. History records his first political job. He was appointed postmaster of Grandview, Missouri. But he passed the job on to a widow who needed the money. On the day he became president, he said, "I felt like the moon, the stars, and all the planets had fallen on me." And in a way they had. History handed him the toughest of all tasks, to explain to his troubled countrymen that all their efforts in 4 years of war had not assured the victory of freedom, that the struggle against totalitarianism would have to continue, and that the victories would not be as clear-cut as those of World War II, and the battle lines would keep moving. He led the fight to save Greece, which was threatened by a vicious communist takeover attempt. He saved Berlin, which Stalin threatened to starve, encircle, and squeeze to death. He saved South Korea when it was threatened by communist expansionism. He tried to protect the West. He protected it wherever he had to. He was often criticized for his decisions, and he was sometimes alone. Later, after listening to attacks on what was called Trumanism, he took to his diary and wrote, "Let us define Trumanism. We have built up our armed forces. We prevented Tito from taking Trieste. We forced Stalin out of Iran. We saved Greece and Turkey. We stayed in Berlin. We knocked the socks off the communists in Korea. We gave the Philippines free government. And we gave Puerto Rico home rule. If that's Trumanism, I confess I'm proud to have my name attached to it." He could have added that he showed the world the depth of America's commitment to freedom when he started NATO. He could have added that when the war was over, he and General Marshall considered the burnt-out rubble of Europe and put together a plan to put our former allies and our former enemies back on their feet. And the Marshall Plan saved Europe. It was, in its way, the most stunning act of American idealism since Lincoln declared his policy of malice toward none and charity for all. And you have to go back to Grant telling Lee to keep his sword to find another such moment of American grace. None of his decisions were made without cost. By 1948, the joke of the day was, "To err is Truman." Tom Dewey was picking his cabinet. At the Democratic convention, they carried signs that said, "We're just mild about Harry." Even the symbolism was against him. When he walked into the convention hall, they released 50 doves that had been hidden under a Liberty Bell as a symbol of peace. The doves were weak from the heat and the long confinement. The first one fell dead to the floor. Another circled frantically, looking for a landing place, a safe place, finally spotted a smooth and shiny perch, and it was Sam Rayburn's head. Truman recounted the scene for years and couldn't control his laughter.
Well, we know Harry won the nomination, and as a registered Democrat, Ronald Reagan went to bat for him. We'll learn more about that chapter of our 40th president's life right after this brief message. We'll be right back.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself, and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit reaganfoundation.org/give. That's reaganfoundation.org/give.
Now, back to the story of Ronald Reagan and Harry Truman. What is particularly relatable in today's contentious politics is how the president cites the bipartisan nature of Congress that supported Truman, as opposed to our 40th president's struggle to find support from his congressional colleagues. Stay with the president's comments, as his focus on bipartisan behavior is near the end of these remarks.
Harry Truman won the nomination and went to the people on a whistle-stop tour, going from point to point throughout the country and bringing his message, explaining what he was doing and why, and how the Congress was thwarting his efforts. Everyone knew he'd lose. The commentators said so, and the polls and the politicians. But a funny thing happened. Everywhere his train went, the people went, thronging the platforms and spilling onto the grass and the sidewalks. They cheered him on. "Give 'em hell, Harry," they'd say. "Pour it on." And Truman said, "I never give 'em hell. I just tell the truth, and they think it's hell." I have, if you'll permit me, a personal recollection. I was in California, and I was just a Hollywood character at the time, and he came to Hollywood to speak at an outdoor rally in one of those dirt tracks for the midget automobile races that were so popular at the time. And Georgie Jessel, whom I believe my memory is correct, it was Harry Truman, had named him as the Toastmaster General of the United States, and I rode in the open car to that meeting in the back seat with President Truman. Open car. Those were a different time than they are today. But I remember on the way over, he and Jessel had known each other for quite some time, and George was asking him, because this was when all the talk was going of how he was conducting a lost cause, and George asked him about the election. And I shall never forget that, not as a kind of a campaign declaration or anything else, just very quietly, "Harry Truman," said George, "I'm going to win." He just said, "I've been out and across the country," and he said, "believe me, I'm going to win re-election." And had occasion to remember that a few months later. Election night, the returns came in, and when it was over, Harry Truman had won by 2 million votes. He held aloft a newspaper headline, smiled his great smile, and gave us a picture we'll never forget, because there just aren't that many photographs of greatness triumphant. Well, that's the way a lot of us remember him, and that's where I'll end my remarks. But I ask you to join me in a toast to his memory. 100 years ago today was born Harry S. Truman, first child and eldest son of John and Martha Truman of Independence, Missouri. He was a great man, a patriot, an idealist, and he understood the world. May the heartland of this country ever yield his kind. Now, may I say one more thing from my heart? I have lauded Harry Truman for his profound resolve to stop communist expansionism and for trying to protect the freedom of the West. May I say that in this effort, he received the essential support of a Congress that understood that freedom is not negotiable, and the only response to expansionism is bipartisan agreement to stop it. And in those days, Democrats and Republicans alike were united in their opposition to tyranny. And seeing this unity, the Soviet Union was forced to back down. The bipartisan spirit is still desperately needed in our times to face challenges to freedom ever closer to home. And I pray that it is still awake and will prevail. Thank you all very much.
Harry Truman was the last Democratic president that Ronald Reagan supported. In the 1952 election, Truman decided not to run due to poor popularity polling. So for the first time, Reagan threw his support to a Republican candidate, popular World War II hero, by the name of Dwight D. Eisenhower. Thank you for listening. For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit ReaganFoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Words to Live By podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of Words to Live By come out every Tuesday. Like what you hear? Check out our A Reagan Forum podcast featuring great speeches delivered at the Reagan Library. New episodes drop every Thursday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan 40 on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.